9-0-9-5-7. Well, for those of you who know the Internet Advisor, our program, been on here for quite a while on WJR. Matter of fact, been on here for close to 17 years with Gary Baker, my partner.
17 years this coming February.
That's right, yeah. And Cal Carson has been with us for many of those years. Cal, good to have you here, too.
Not 17, though, I tell you. I got a long way to roll to catch up with you guys.
We would have had to start when you were really young to get 17 years in, right?
Yeah, instead of representing Apple, I would have been representing, grape.
Well, Cal is a tech expert for General Motors right now, working with the executives there.
Yes, Generous Motors.
Generous Motors. And on the executive level, so we've got to get it right. No excuses.
Well, and people talk about that a lot. And I got to say that, although I do have what most people would call high-profile customers, every customer that I deal with is high-profile in my book, and everybody needs the same type of treatment, because, hey, the computers all work the same. I mean, if Word's not working on A or working on B, it's still the same problem either
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. So that's the kind of attitude you've got here, folks, somebody waiting to help you. And the phone number is 800-859-0957. We got Ralph waiting. Matter of fact, let's get to Ralph, and then when we come back from our next break, Cal, I want you to take a moment to talk about Black Friday. You've got some interesting thoughts on that. That's a big sales, I won't say scam, but it's a big sales
day.
Well, it's actually now that weeks. We'll talk about it. Anyway, the number here, 800-859-0957. And let's say hello to Ralph from Shelby Township. Ralph, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how can we help you?
Okay, I bought a Galaxy tablet, Tab 4, about 3 or 4 months ago, and I never had wireless before, so I purchased a router, and we hooked it up so that I'm operating off of the router, and it was going okay. I also have a computer that I have on there, too.
Right.
About 3 or 4 weeks ago, the tablet start asking for a password. I could not go on automatically. Kept asking for my password, and it's the router's password. It's kind of a difficult number to remember in your head.
I understand.
Lowercase, uppercase, all that.
Sure. Very secure.
Right. So I've called Costco, where I bought the thing from. I shouldn't mention that name, but
that's right.
Concierge Service, and they've tried to help me. I called WOW, which is my cable or internet provider, and I haven't been able to satisfy it. I just turned it on again this morning, and here it is again.
Ralph, what is the type of the router that you're using?
It's that popular one, Cisco. Link?
Pardon me?
I think it's Cisco.
Oh, it's a Cisco router, okay.
Probably Linksys.
Which would be Linksys, right. L-Y-N-K.
That's right, it's Linksys, right, because they had me contacting, using that website, Linksys.
Right. Cal, thoughts?
Have any idea? So when you turn it on, when you turn on your Galaxy, it always asks for the password for it?
Right. Now, I also have a guest connection on there. It's Flamingo is the name of the thing, and there's a Flamingo guest. And the guest used to be protected with the password, and now that's open. If I use the guest, I can go right on, but I don't like that either, because somebody else could be going on there with me.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. So this is maybe the router's administration site, Cal?
Yeah. I definitely would be going. Yeah, that would be my first thought. With the Linksys router, generally speaking, if you take your computer and bring up a browser like IE or Safari, and you type in a 192.168.0.1 or 192.168.1.1, that should bring you to the administration page of the router, the Linksys router. And then once you log into that administration page, you should be able to go to the section where the passwords are, and you probably might want to go in and reset those passwords. If it's not asking for one for guests, my first thought is that the router got reset for some reason or another, maybe through a power shutdown and back up again, although it should hold the password.
Although it sounds like the issue is on the tablet, because am I right, Ralph? You're saying that the computer doesn't have any problem.
That's correct. That's what I was going to say.
But if the computer is hardwired.
Is a computer...
No, the computer uses the router too.
Okay, on the tablet, when you put in the password for it, does it have a little checkbox saying, remember this password?
Yes.
And do you check it?
Yes.
And it remembers it? No.
No.
Okay.
It was going good for the first couple of months that I've used it, and it just started doing that. So I would take the time and putting in that difficult password, and then it's getting to be, there's got to be something happened there.
When was the last time you updated the software on the tablet?
Firmware.
Well, geez, I don't know. It's only about 4 months old, 3 months old.
Well, it shouldn't be an issue then.
Well, maybe. It depends on what version the software is under. He may have bought a tablet that may have been in a box
shelf
for
right.
6 months.
You're right. You're right.
And it could have an older version tablet. So what I would suggest you do is...
No, it's the latest tablet. It's a Tab 4. In fact, I'm having difficulty finding a keyboard. They have the attachment for the keyboard. They haven't found one that makes it for the
But even at that, it was probably manufactured a number of... many months ago, it came off the line.
Well, and what you want to do first is you want to make sure that the software on the tablet is up to snuff.
Because how do you do that?
I believe with the Android ones, if you go to settings, there should be an update section in there. You click it, and it should go and pull down the latest version of software for it.
This is just kind of precautions. Right. But what Cal has said to you before is if you go to 192.168.1.1, generally speaking, that'll take you into the router itself, and you can go back in there and check and see if there are proper connections going well.
Let me write that down, those numbers. What
All
are
right,
they now?
192.168.1.1. .1.1. Try that.
And Ralph, hold on, and we'll talk to you offline.
Yeah. That should do it for you. Back in just a second to talk with Mike and you at 800-859-0957. Welcome. And by the way, if you happen to say, gee, I'm waiting for the game to come up here, and all of a sudden I'm hearing this program about computers... Yeah, normally, we're on at this time, 4 to 6, but with the sports schedule, we're often kind of bumped around a little bit. And if you'd like to catch some of our past programs, you can go to internetadvisor.net and then click on the podcast button, and it'll take you to some of our past ones. Because we are on every Saturday. Even if we're preempted here on WJR, which we are sometimes during the sporting season by the football or basketball teams, you'll find us online at internetadvisor.net with a full two-hour program. And that goes to our affiliates who are also listening to us throughout, four stations in Michigan here. And, Gary, one of the things that struck me as we were talking about routers with our first guest, Ralph. And by the way, the phone number here right now, you can get hold of us immediately, is at 800-859-0957. I'm doing my own search for router because it's kind of a funny thing. We talk about all the other equipment in the house. Mm-hmm. As being really important, but if you don't have a good, strong router, the rest of it works.
I hadn't paid much attention because my router just always worked and everything, and then it just, for one reason or another, wasn't going as far as we wanted it to, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to upgrade to 802.11ac, which is the latest. And I spent a few bucks to do that, but boy, did that make a difference.
Yep.
We can now go anywhere in the house and be able to get a very, very strong connection. And we don't have to stall anymore, Foster. Cal is done helping Ralph, and he's back with us. I probably shouldn't have said that.
For me, it's a real deal because
they can't. They can't tell. They don't know what's going on here in the studio.
But you know something, Gary.
You helped Ralph.
Yes, I did. And while you were talking, while I was helping Ralph, I was also paying attention to what you were doing. Believe it or not, multitasking. And you make a very good point. We buy routers a lot of times, and routers are kind of like, that broom in the closet. You forget about it.
A doorknob. You don't.
Yeah.
it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be able to forget about it.
Exactly.
Right?
And they do work that way. But every now and then, every couple of years, it's probably a good idea to take a look at it and say, hey, is this thing still doing the work that I needed to do? Have there been changes in how networks work, and do we need to move up? And for that few, under $100, you can make all the difference in the world.
And it makes a big difference. As a matter of fact, when I bought this router that I have, it's a nice Linksys. It's an older one, though. It's an E1000, which I think I bought it used. I mean, so it's I've had it around for a while. And the difference is that we are now seeing breaks in connections. Mm-hmm. My wife will be hollering from the other room, I'm not able to make this thing work.
And
I know it's not. I know it's not the software on the computer, and that can be the problem.
Yeah.
And you start thinking it's a computer and I got to get a new computer. No, it's just you got to spend a little bit of money and get a good router, as you said, Gary.
That's right. And mine was 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
And it
this was one,
fine
same thing.
Until it stopped working fine.
It's fine until it stops.
And this one will last 5 or 6 years, and yeah. I'll probably have to do it again. So.
But it's a good thing to invest wisely in.
Right.
Yeah.
And as you said, going up to the AC, which is the next level up now, or the MIMO, where they have the three antennas on them.
Yes.
Yeah, because back in the old days, remember, it was like, oh, 2400 baud. Oh, they came out with a 4800 baud, and everybody moved up. It's the same thing with routers. It's just not the same type of speed talk that we used to do in the back. Yeah.
And one of the things that Ed said, I live in an apartment complex, is I'm surrounded by all sorts of other routers.
And noise on things that are not routers,
exactly,
but are noise.
Exactly.
Right?
Your microwaves, you know, and phone systems, everything else. Yep.
And that's why there's dual band today, right? Because if you can't get it on channels on the lower band, you can get it on channels on the upper
jump
band
up
and vice versa.
Exactly. All right, let's go out to Mike. Mike, welcome to the Internet Advisor. And what can we do for you this weekend?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
What I have is when I go on the Internet and just do a search or whatever and get to a page, a pesky ad will pop up in the lower right corner, and it will, and the little button where you normally can X them out will count down like 9, 8, 7, and still the X shows up, and then you can cut them out. Is there a way to stop that?
Yeah, it sounds like you've been hit with a toolbar hijacker, essentially. What browser are you using?
Internet Explorer.
Well, is this just one site, or is it multiple sites?
It's multiple sites.
It is, okay.
What are the ads or the little box talking about?
It could be anything. It could be, clothes. It could be, just trying to sell you stuff.
Yep.
So it has no commonality whatsoever?
No.
Okay. Up on the top of your window, what toolbars do you have on there, if you know what I'm talking about?
Right. The Google toolbar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Comcast, and then the Comcast toolbar.
Okay.
And do you like having those extra toolbars?
The Google one I do, because I use that the most. And then I switch back and forth with the Comcast one. But, I mean, I don't really need that one.
Sure.
As much as I do the Google.
Well, there's a couple ways to do it. You could go into Cal. Does anybody have Internet Explorer open there? What operating system are you running right now? Windows what?
Windows 7.
Windows 7, okay. So you're probably running what, IE 10?
I believe so, yeah.
Could be running IE 10. There is, I haven't got mine open to the right, but I think you have a...
I think what you want them to do, if I can be so
yes,
boldly,
yes.
I would probably go to that little gear on the right-hand side.
There you go.
I'd click on that rascal, and I'd go down to the one that says Manage Add-ons. And then And then when you go in there, I would go in and turn off all the add-ons that you have turned on in there for right now. Turn them all off, shut down Internet Explorer, and then bring Internet Explorer back up again and see if you get those ads again. If it doesn't come back, then you can go back in and start adding back in the add-ons that you want to really use.
Right.
And add them in one at a time. You know, put one in, shut the IE down, bring it back up again, see if those ads come back. If it doesn't, you're good. And only add in back the ones that seem familiar to you. You know, if it says something like Adobe and you use Adobe products, that's probably good.
Sure.
But if you have something in there that says wonky and you have no idea what the heck a wonky is, I wouldn't put that one back in, and I probably delete the sucker.
Yeah. There are some that are like search helpers, God help us, and Conduit was one. And I'm trying to think what the other one is, Cal, that's been showing up on Macs, too. Matter of fact, I had it that I was arm wrestling with. I forget what it is. But anyway... Now, Cal, you said if it doesn't show up, you're okay. What happens if you shut all the extensions down, he goes back into Internet Explorer, and suddenly, boink, it's there again?
In that particular case, then I would go to malwarebytes.org, and that's malbytes.org, and I would download their program and run that against the machine and see whether or not that will find any malware in there and get rid of that for you.
And that was malware?
It's called Malwarebytes. By the way, if you simply go to internetadvisor.net, which
Thank
is our
you,
homepage,
sir.
And up on the top, there's a toolkit. Click on that, and Ed Riddell, who's one of our experts who is visiting some folks up north. He's put in there the links to Malwarebytes and other anti-malware programs that are there. And they're free, the links that we have, and you could download and install that on your machine and then run that, and that should get rid of it for you. Okay?
Oh, cool. Thank you very much.
If you continue to have any problems, get back in touch with us through our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and the Contact Us button. And that's the way, by the way, any way you out there can get hold of us throughout the week at that number. If you happen to run into a problem, and matter of fact, usually after the program is over, I'll go back and I'll find three or four emails in there. Please feel free to give us a call at 800-859-0957. That's a unique opportunity, especially during these winter and early spring months where sometimes not on the air every weekend. So this is kind of like your chance to walk in or drive in to a computer shop and say, hey, I got a problem. What do you think? And we'll put our heads together and see if we can help you with it. Again, 800-859-0957. Jerry in Brownstown. We're going to be getting to you and to the rest of you folks who are calling in at 800-859-0957. And Cal, I promise when we come back, we'll talk about Black Friday sales, or pseudo sales, you might say. You're listening to the Internet Advisor on our flagship station, 760 AM WJR in Detroit. Welcome, it's the Internet Advisor, and at this time I pay my homage to the folks behind the glass. Hey, Shannon, hey, good to see you back there. Rich Lazinski, our engineer who makes things work here, spins the dials, and Annie Nichols, our lady of the phones. Now, don't say the scream for when she's around. Anyway, Annie, thank you so much for being here. We've got
they really
folks
do help
lined
us
up online here.
But we couldn't do it without them.
Jerry and Gina and Michael, hang on a second, because Cal, I want you to talk a little bit about this Black Friday thing. We've been talking about this, and I've been seeing some articles on this, about whether, you know, Black Friday is really the big deal that it's always been. You had some interesting thoughts.
Well, yeah, I found out that, you know, from doing some research and stuff like that, that in some ways Black Friday is a really great deal if you find something really great. But on other sides, it's really not all that big of a deal. A lot of times, I mean, for example, I was looking and I was thinking about getting a second TV in-house, and I saw, wow, 50-inch TV for $199.
Oh, good Lord.
And I go like, okay, that sounds great. And you go and you look, and it's a third-tier or second-tier TV. Like, RCA used to be a really big name.
Yeah, but it was bought by...
But it's not a really big name anymore.
No, not
it's
anymore.
Just
they've
a name.
They lost their touch, right?
Yeah, they no longer have that luster.
They're not on the bleeding edge of technology.
Exactly.
Well, they were bought, I think, by somebody else, too.
So this TV's on sale for $199. It's 50-inch. You go like, wow, what a Black Friday deal. Well, you know something? You can get that same TV for about $50 more any day of the week. And it's only a 60-hertz TV.
Oh, boy.
And if you check with Consumers Reports, they rate it as some of the worst picture quality you've ever seen.
But you know, it's just like anything else you have to do, right? You have to shop.
Buyer beware.
You have to know what you're buying, right?
Exactly.
Because some people will say, you know what? I need a cheap TV. I don't have the money to spend on a really nice TV, and you know it still might be worth it. I don't shop Black Friday sales, but I don't shop much anyway.
But people have an image of this being this enormous savings on some really good machinery. It's just good to know.
And it might be, but you got to be careful.
Do your homework.
You got to do your homework.
That's
you got to do your homework. Read up. Look at what it is. Yep. Make sure it is. You know, the worst thing in the world to do is, number one, wait in line all night long in the cold, in the snow, for something that you could have just bought for another $25 or $50 more anyway.
Yeah, or online.
Or online and had it delivered directly to the house, and you wouldn't even have to go outside. So what I'm saying is that the hype of Black Friday, shake through the hype, do your homework, make sure that if you see something that you think is a great buy, make sure it is, in fact, a great buy.
Excellent. Jerry from Brownstown, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how can we help you?
Oh, hi, yes. I have a question. I have a 17-inch laptop. It's a little bit older, but it was doing everything I needed to, and caught a virus or two and crashed, and I took it to the local computer store by my house, and they were able to reset it to the factory settings, And I have Kaspersky that I purchased for a year that's good until March 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, what do you recommend to put on this? Obviously, it didn't work the first time. I got caught a couple of viruses that knocked it out. Is when, there anything? I heard you talking about your toolkit on the internet.com, mm-hmm. but is there anything you recommend to put on computers?
So there's, nothing will work 100% because they have what they call zero-day viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So they can come up with a virus and people say, oh, there's a virus, and before you can get the antidote onto your computer, the virus hits you. So, you know, there's always a chance, no matter what you have. But, Cal, we have some recommendations.
Well, seeing all that you've already bought Kaspersky for a year, have you used that already? Was that on there when you got the virus?
And it didn't work. He didn't keep it off, right?
It's gone. I have to reload it.
Okay. If you can reload it if you want to, but if it didn't protect you the way you wanted or you felt you should have protected, there's a couple of things you can do. Number one, you could if you're running a Windows machine, which I suspect you are, mm-hmm. I would download Microsoft Essentials.
Security Essentials.
Yeah. It's absolutely free from Microsoft. It's a full body program. It's lightweight. It runs really well with the operating system.
Are you running Windows 7, by the way?
Yes, I am.
Then it's built perfectly for it. That's the best system for it.
And it's free.
Yep.
I would give that a try. If you don't want to go with that particular choice, my personal second choice would be AVG. I like it. I would download the free version of that and try that. But I'd go with the Microsoft Security Essentials to start with, because anything that is close to the manufacturing of the operating system, it's going to be written to be more efficient with it.
That's right. Now, do you have a Windows 8 or 8.1 operating system, or
7.
Is it 7?
7.
No, it's a Windows 7.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
So for people that have 8 or 8.1, well, you should never have 8. You should have 8.1. It's now called Windows Defender.
And it's built into
everybody else out there.
It's built into
built in.
Now, one of the things I will tell you this, Gary used to say, had the term he used, belts and suspenders, as a way of talking about protecting our systems. Don't count on one thing being like the silver bullet or the wolfbane or the garlic.
However, you only want one antivirus.
Yes, yes.
And if you're and if you're hard pressed and say, "Oh my God, I want a commercial version of something," before you go out and buy anything, whoever gives you your internet, may it be UVerse or Comcast or WoW or one of the big providers. Mm-hmm. I know at Comcast and UVerse, they automatically will give you, with UVerse, you get a McAfee free. It's a full-blown version that you can download from UVerse's website and load on your machine. Or if you're getting it from Comcast, you get Norton, and it's full-blown. You can download that as well. Those are both equivalent to the commercial versions that you would go out and spend a couple hundred bucks for.
Now, one other thing to keep in mind here, Jerry, pardon me, is that there's a difference between antivirus programs and malware programs.
That's right.
So an antivirus program is kind of like your belt. And you put that on, you got to make sure you have your belt on, your pants fall down otherwise. You put the suspenders on, that's the anti-malware.
Right.
And that will go after stuff that, for instance, will drop in from websites.
They're not technically a virus,
right,
but they're bad.
They're bushwhackers.
Yeah.
And so you run Malware Bytes, for instance, the free version. You can run that, and you'll find a link to that on our homepage. And there's another one, a little more sophisticated, and to be honest with you, Callan and Gary, I don't know about you, but I usually run a twosome going after malware. I run Malware Bytes first, and then Combo Fix.
Right. Yes.
Yep,
and that seems to be the 1-2 punch.
A little cocktail for those little viruses.
And that cocktail has seemed to be very effective on the machines that I've worked on. So, but again, that's after malware, not necessarily the antivirus.
But the three that I mentioned to them, those three, Norton, McAfee, and Microsoft Essentials, they all do both virus and malware.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry, first of all, I got to thank you for asking the question, because it very does give us an opportunity to talk about this. There's a reason that, you know, Xfinity, which is Comcast, and UVerse, which is AT&T, there's a reason that they provide antivirus for free. And that is because not only does it hurt you in when you catch a virus, but it hurts them and a whole lot of other people on the internet, because a lot of times, sometimes it'll just come in and take your all your personal information,
all your contacts,
and go out and steal your identity. But a lot of other times it becomes a robot and it spews ads and other stuff out to all these other, you know, all these other boxes as well. Okay. So that's why they just don't, I mean, they're willing to pay money.
It jams up the pipes.
So that they can give it to you for free.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for asking that question. Hope we've helped you out, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, Jerry. Thank you. Again, the number, 800-859-0957. And Gina is with us from Clinton Township. Hi, Gina. How can we help you?
Hi. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I don't know. My question is probably very simple, but when I'm working in Windows 7, so when I click on the icon to go on to set the internet and I use the Mozilla Firefox.
Yep.
Yep. When I'm clicking on it now, I'm going to do it right now. A new tab shows up every single time now, and it's called My Search Dial. I can't find that in any of my programs, trying to uninstall it and get rid of it.
I know.
So basically, I have to click out of it and then go into the internet. And I didn't know, is there something I can do to get rid of this? Or
yeah, we talked a little bit about another one of these hijackers beforehand. It's a search bar hijacker, and you've got it showing up on Mozilla, the Firefox. You said you go over to the internet. Do you go to Internet Explorer? Is that what you were saying?
No, I actually, I'm doing the Mozilla Firefox, so that's what I'm using as my browser, and then I do have the Internet Explorer. It doesn't show up on Internet Explorer.
See, now, what I was going to say, we often recommend to people have two or three browsers on, you could have four, I have four myself.
Okay.
But like either Chrome or IE, Internet Explorer, or if you want, Mozilla. And Safari would be the other one that you can have. But have another one so that when something gets snagged on one, you can use the other in case of emergency.
Gina, I just looked up My Search Dial on on Google to see if I could get you to a site that will remove it for you. The first one that comes up is uninstall My Search Dial, and guess where it takes you? It takes you to www.mysearchdial.com.
Yeah.
Removal instructions, don't go there.
Yeah,
right?
Do not go there.
I'm right back where I started.
So you probably figured that one out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So go. What we'll do is there's a couple other really good sites. It is a virus. You can take and get it removed. There are
steps to
remove it. There's actually even a YouTube channel. You want to take a look at that? I would always look at least two and preferably three resources online for this exact reason. You don't know. You might come up with, oh, well, that sounds legitimate, and you go do exactly what they tell you to do, which is, you know, you thought it was bad before. Well, they just did put something bad
on
your computer.
The thief comes in, he sticks his hand in your back window, steals the fan, and then comes around the front door on a hot day and says, can I sell you a fan? It's kind of the same thing.
So,
Gina, hang on, and we're going to come back after the break with a few more suggestions for you. But,
okay, great.
But basically, you didn't do anything wrong. What happened was you got snagged by one of these darn search bar hijackers. Hey, folks, we have time for a couple more calls. 800-859-0957. Allow me just a moment. My name is Foster Brown, by the way. Gary Baker and Ed Rudell and probably Cal Garson in studio today. Just to remind you, our homepage, internetadvisor.net, is a veritable cornucopia of information for you throughout the week, because we put all of our show notes after the show is done. We pack in there not only links to the people who were our guests, but we also, for instance, in the second hour of our program where we're solving problems for folks like yourself, we also spend some time putting in the links to the different kind of helps that we find. So we try to make that a big source for you to get the information that we've had here on the air. Now, I'm breaking the programs up as there's a full-length podcast that goes out every week. It's about an hour and 15 minutes long with all the breaks taken out. But we've also started breaking down the show into the individual audio elements so that when you go to the homepage at internetadvisor.net on the podcast feed or under the show, you'll see the individual audio elements for guests in this hour, like Father Richard Dalton in the first hour, separated out so you can go to a specific place. You can even listen to just the second hour of the program to us answering questions from listeners. So I wanted you to know that's a resource that's out there for you, for our affiliates and for anybody else who's listening to the program. So we're kind of trying to help you all week long. And speaking of that, simply if you have a problem during the week, go to internetadvisor.net and then go to the Contact Us button, and we will be there to help you. Now, let's get back out to Gina. Gina, thank you for hanging on there. As we were kind of talking behind the scenes about things to suggest to you, not just to you, but for other people who are listening out there who have found themselves in a problem, just kind of generally in a problem with your computer. Gary had mentioned offline something that I think, and Ed had talked about it near the end of our last program. YouTube is a tremendous resource.
Yeah, I just went to it as we were on break. Yeah, there are several videos that are showing how to remove it.
Excellent.
So you just have to be careful. Look at a couple,
right,
because the very first one that's listed, when you do the search, and it says YouTube, you go to that. Guess who put that video
on YouTube as well?
Yeah, they put mysearchdial.com, put the removal instructions. Now, this may very well be legit, right?
Yeah,
however,
right.
However,
trust me.
I would take and go and look at two or three other ones. Make sure that they're the same. They're giving you the same steps, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And as Gary said, yeah, don't go to the people who just stole your wallet.
Exactly.
But I'm glad that you did that. You went in there and saw a couple of different videos.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a few on here that I'm seeing. Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I haven't opened any up yet, but I thought, okay, I'll try and see.
Yeah,
other question is, why would it always come up? It seems like it only happens in Mozilla. Why doesn't it happen in Internet Explorer? Does Internet Explorer have a better firewall or something that doesn't let people like these type of things in?
Yeah. So you asked a really easy question, Gina, and it's one I can answer instead of giving it to, you know, our expert, Cal Carson. and I'm going, I can answer this. And Cal goes, oh, please. And I said, no, Cal, you do it. So, Cal,
No, you're the Internet
All right,
advisor.
You too.
All right. Okay. So anyway, what happens is there are add-ons, and the add-on was specifically to the Mozilla browser.
It was built
browser.
For Mozilla, yeah.
Right. So actually what you could do is you can manage this from your add-ons in Mozilla as well. So you could probably just disable it, but you can't remove it that way. But you
could
disable it.
There might be an update to Mozilla that takes care of some of
this,
too.
And it could be.
I'd remove it first.
Yes, yes.
And then a reboot, and then go in and do your update to Mozilla, and that would, and then that way to kind of take care of that situation.
Okay, so remove it first and go and update Mozilla. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I'm curious, why have you been using Firefox?
I don't know. This is my husband installed it on here, so it's just, and it's been easy. I mean, it doesn't give me any problems.
Exactly.
But Chrome seems to give me, is it the Bing that comes up all the time? That was just kind of...
Well, Bing is usually the search engine on Internet Explorer because...
Okay, one of those that keeps popping up. So we just kind of stay with Mozilla.
So what you can do, if on IE you're constantly getting that little Bing guy come up, and if you don't particularly like Mr. Bing, what you can do is you can go into, once again, you can go into Internet Options.
Okay.
And no, let's see. Is it options?
Manage. I think it's manage tools.
Yeah, manage. I'm sorry. Excuse me. You go manage to that extensions. Little gear, and then go to manage add-ons.
Yeah.
And you can go in there and say, click on search provider, and you can say, I want to have Google be my search provider
instead of Bing.
Okay.
And you make that your default search provider because you do a right mouse click on Google and say set as default.
Right.
And then from now on, anytime you want to do a search, guess what? It'll use Google instead of Bing.
Okay. You know,
one of the things you're pointing out here, Gina, and we're taking a little time to talk about this, because browsers have now become more...
ubiquitous?
Well, they're ubiquitous, but tunable. You can actually tweak them.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas before, when you got a browser, it was kind of like, you got what you got.
Right, exactly.
And what's happened with the advent of these hijackings that have gone on, in other words, you go to a website and it's poisoned, if you will, that when you hit it, it suddenly then dumps something down on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And it very often those add-ons in there. The individual browsers have found ways of fighting these kind of things. And for instance, if you get the hire to Internet Explorer 11, it blocks everything pretty much. And you really have to start back over then, putting in the extensions very carefully. That's the way they handle it. Other ones will have their own antidotes out there. That's why you'll see a difference between the browsers. And I used to thought, well, what aren't they all, you know, accessing the same stuff? No, not at all. Yeah. They're very finely tuned right now. Right.
It's the price of customization. Where you get all the wonderfulness of being able to design the browser to work exactly the way you want, it opens the door, because it is open, in a sense, for these little guys to kind of slip in and do their thing.
Yeah.
What browser do you guys recommend using more?
Oh, boy. I think it's kind of personal taste. Gary, what do you use?
At work, I use Internet Explorer, because mm-hmm. some of our systems are tuned that way. Mm-hmm. I like Google Chrome.
Yeah.
But I use, on another machine, I use mostly Mozilla. It's kind of, so I use all three.
Yeah.
Right? As I think about it, I use all three.
Traditionally, what I do is, it depends on the machine I'm on. I will always try to use the native browser for the operating system. If I'm using a Mac, I use Safari. If I'm using Windows, I use IE.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I
use Safari on my iPad.
I have gotten, I don't know, maybe kind of lazy, or I just get used to it. I love Chrome. And I love the fact that I can go on somebody else's computer. I can go on a public computer.
And
when I put my password in, it, boom, all of my bookmarks are there, everything, and I get the same look
you
and feel.
You just like it because it's shiny.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, we use Chrome at my place of employment and IE, because like you're saying, some things that we go into, only I can retrieve it in Internet Explorer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's interesting. Okay.
And there's actually sites, and we tell people, do not, you know, make your site browser specific. But there are certain ActiveX controls that are only available in IE, in Internet Explorer, mm-hmm. and some sites still use them, and they're exclusive. And so they try to build an experience for every other browser a different way, but it's not the same. And you think, all right, you know, so those sites I go to IE on.
I was going to say, Kel, I think your point is good, too, that the browser that's native to the system, Safari to the Mac, IE to the
Windows
machines, and Chrome actually kind of works on all of them.
Yeah,
it does.
It works on Android. If you're on a phone, it works on the Android as well as on iPhones as well.
Yeah, I just find that it just seems to me that they seem to work better if you use the one that's mm-hmm. native to the system. The interfaces generally will be common to the system itself. For me, it's easier that way.
Gina, thank you for your question.
Thank you.
It's given us a chance to talk about a number of things here. You have a great weekend, all right?
You too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Hey, that wraps it up, folks, for the Internet Advisor. Don't forget, Cal was saying before, when you're looking at some of these Black Friday ads, they're starting to pile up all over the place. And heaven help us, this Sunday is going to be loaded. The next two Sundays will be like 20-pound newspapers.
It's great. I'll be able to wrap a lot of fish.
Bird cages are finally going to be covered. Just make sure you do your homework and look into those things to make sure that they're the real deal. Well, my name is Foster Brown. Gary Baker, thank you for being here, and Cal Carson as well.
Certainly my pleasure.
Back with you next week. And by the way, in the meantime, check out our Facebook page, Internet Advisor. Got lots of fun things happening there as well. And all of our program notes will be together with our interviews and our podcast on Sunday night, ready for you to download. Thank you for being with us, and for you folks and our affiliates, thank you for joining us as well.